Chile's sprawling metropolis capital of Santiago is the scene of acclaimed novelist Antonio Skármeta's latest book, The Dancer and the Thief. Set in the wake of Pinochet's dictatorship, the book's protagonists struggle to make peace with their lives in a city trapped in past and present injustices. Antonio Skármeta fled Chile following Pinochet's dictatorial ouster of the democratically elected government of Salvador Allende in 1973. He became exiled in West Berlin, Germany, when nostalgia for his homeland led him to write the internationally acclaimed novel The Postman. The novel was later adapted to the big screen as Il Postino and won the Oscar for Best Foreign Film. Skármeta returned to Chile in 1989 and became the ambassador to Germany from 2000 to 2003. Newly translated into English, his latest book, The Dancer and the Thief, like Il Postino, is being made into a movie starring Diego Luna. Antonio Skármeta is in Los Angeles right now, and he joins us in studio. Welcome to Uprising.
Hello. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks so much for joining us. A huge fan of your first book, and I just finished reading the second book and very much enjoyed it. Tell our listeners a little bit about the story itself and the setting of the story. This is modern-day Chile, modern-day Santiago, and you have just, I guess, three main characters who represent different parts, I think, or different aspects of today's Chile.
Well, I should say these characters, first of all, they represent themselves. So I try not to make people live characters represent something else. But of course, since Chile is quite an interesting country because of its history, people tend to see what they could represent. But my three characters are two scoundrels that they have been released from jail, and they will try to make a living in Santiago, and a 17-year-old girl, a dancer, who is the last year of high school, who loves dancing, who wants to be a professional dancer, and she's having some problems, because it looks like he's not going to be able to end high school because of certain sadness. This girl, her name is Victoria, his father was killed in the time of the dictatorship, and she has lived with the absence of her father for many years, and now she feels very, very bad about it, so she has no force to go on with the school, and she's about to quit, and at that moment she meets these two funny scoundrels who just has left the jail, and their lives connect and they interact.
And the two scoundrels, as you call them, a young man and an older gentleman, the two of them have been granted amnesty from because they committed nonviolent crimes.
Right.
Tell us about the setting of the novel, or the part of the novel that you don't, you know, I love the way you don't really go very deeply into the politics, but they're always there throughout because of the tumultuous political history of Chile. But where did this amnesty come from, and what, you know, how many people have been imprisoned in Chile over the years?
Well, now we are living in Chile in a democracy, mm-hmm. quite a good democracy after this brutal Pinochet dictatorship. We are enjoying the democracy. But the jails, like in all Latin American countries, are full of people. And sometimes they release some people that are not dangerous because they have committed only minor crimes. But the point is that they put some other inside. It was very curious because once I was doing a program like this in Spain, mm-hmm. and suddenly the man who was conducting the program called the local jail, and he has given to the prisoners my book. And he wanted the prisoners of the jail to discuss the book with me. And one of them said, "Hey, Mr. Skármeta, I have read The Dancer and the Thief, and I see that you are one of ours." You have been there. You cannot deny that.
Well, that's an interesting story. So let's talk a little bit about The fact that in your book, even though you said Chile is today a democracy,
yes,
but yet there's this grinding poverty in the book,
sure,
that all the three protagonists in your book have to face. And in fact, that is a lot of what drives them to do some of the things they do.
Yes, you're right. My characters are outcasts. They live at the margins of society. And this modern society, so in this modern society, sometimes you don't have a place. And then they are striving for finding a place in this society. And there is a lot of poverty. Although Chile is doing quite well with its economics, the point is that the distribution of wealth is very bad. And it hasn't been done enough to solve this problem. And that's the reason why so many people live at the margins of society, and sometimes they move to crime.
I'm wondering if you might be able to read an excerpt from the book for our listeners, if you could share a little piece of it.
Okay, we'll do it gladly. This is so out in the middle of the novel, this old safe cracker tries to go back to his family, and he has been rejected. His wife doesn't want to see him anymore, and his son doesn't like him. He even wants to change his name. The name of this guy is Vergara Gray, and he has an appointment with her wife to discuss the situation. And before he goes into the restaurant, he walks around the river Mapocho. That night, Vergara Gray took a walk along the Mapocho River, its waters brown like the city's refuse that fill its banks. Old tires, crepe lumber, fecal matters, tin cans, rotten vegetables, branches, dead ducks, crushed pigeons, and every once in a while, a human cadaver. After the military coup, people would stand on the bridges and point down at the dead floating by, their skulls and chests crushed by soldiers' bullets. There were days when the familiars of the disappeared would sit on these banks, hoping that the bodies they hadn't found at the police station or the morgue could float by so they could give their loved ones a proper burial. Now, the city had been modernized, and the Mapocho River tamed by civil engineers. They diverted its course to build freeways, straight as arrows, that took the city's wealthy citizens from this class of suburbs to their banks downtown. The river was no longer the refuge of street urchins and young hooligans. Now, it was a kind of backyard to Santiago's financial center. Along its banks rose four or five tall steel buildings that aspired to being skyscrapers. Chileans, with their self-deprecating sense of humor, had unofficially baptized that pretensions stuck-up neighborhood Sanhattan, because of Santiago and Manhattan. So they baptized it with humor Sanhattan.
Antonio Skármeta, author of the award-winning novel The Postman, and his latest also winning an award, the latest prestigious Planeta Prize in Spain, selling more than 250,000 copies, The Dancer and the Thief. That was an excerpt from the book that he just shared with us. And by the way, he's going to be doing a reading this evening at 7 p.m. at the Los Angeles Public Library at 630 West 5th Street. That's this evening at 7 p.m. Book signing with Antonio Skármeta, my guest. We talked about the extreme poverty of many Chileans, Antonio, but also two of the three protagonists in your book are young. And today, young Chileans, and you demonstrate this in your book, are sort of caught between the lure of, you know, Western digital technology and pop culture, and also, of course, their own current realities. Can you talk about how Chilean youth are coping with the political past?
Well, they are doing quite well, again, because this is a generation born in democracy. So they have heard about how violent Chile was before they were born. And they are enjoying more and more spaces of freedom. So they feel quite free from the past, and they are inventing a new Chile. It's quite a powerful generation. They had a beautiful literature, a very good rock music, even the Chilean film industry has revived. So the things look not bad at all. And of course, they have political conscience. They know what the dictatorship was, how much the people suffered, and they are sure that they are not going that way anymore, whatever problems the country finds. So it's quite a good generation.
In your previous novel, The Postman, you featured very prominently your close friend Pablo Neruda as a character. In this book, The Dancer and the Thief, we hear about a poet by the name of Gabriela Mistral. Tell our listeners who she was.
Over and over, yes. Well, you're right to mention that. Gabriela Mistral is another Chilean poet. She won the Nobel Prize for Literature, too. And well, it's very curious because we are a very, very small land at the very end of the world, and we have the two Nobel Prizes in literature. And, of course, Chileans are very proud of this, Pablo Neruda and Gabriela Mistral. Gabriela Mistral was a very strong woman, a very passionate poet who interpreted the people in our country with luminous verses. And she used to live in New York and all around the world. And I have written about her because I'm obsessed with this character. Many texts. I have written a short story. And in my last two novels, my last three novels, The Poet's Wedding, The Girl with the Trombone, and in this last one, The Dancer and the Thief, Gabriela Mistral is the energy that attracts some of the characters. In this case, the dancer Victoria, in homage to her dead father, he tried to create a dance based on one of the poems by Gabriela Mistral. And she's doing that, and to do that, she received the help of these two scoundrels that they have nothing to do with culture, they have nothing to do with art, but they have an understanding for human feelings. And that's, I think, that's a force of the novel, that people get interested in each other, they feel compassion for the other, and they feel the humor that the other person has. And then I think they like to play games. They are people who are acting for the other to make them feel good.
The two scoundrels that you keep referring to, their role in the novel is basically focusing on a big heist, a big robbery that they're planning. But somehow it seems justified because the focus or the target is a man who enriched himself via the Pinochet dictatorship. Mm-hmm. How are Chileans dealing, and even in your novel, with the legacy of the past? Is there a sense of reconciliation? Is there a sense of justice today?
There is a sense of reconciliation, a sense of justice, but at the same time, we have the feeling that many things found no solution. There are many people in Chile who committed crimes against human rights that are free and and they were not taken into trial. That's something that we resent. Let's take a sentence. The first democratic president after the Pinochet dictatorship said, when he informed the country about how many violations to human rights took place in Chile, he said, "Now we are going to do justice. Justice as far as we can." This is a very dramatic sentence. You realize that you have to be very, very careful when you move from a strong dictatorship to a new democracy. You have to be very prudent, very cautious, not to make mistakes. Now, 15 or 16 years after the dictatorship ended, now we feel that we can breathe, that there is no danger anymore. But we lived a long time with many, many doubts, and we in democracy couldn't do all the things we wanted to do. One of the things, to make justice, to bring all these criminals to jail. You know that Pinochet himself, the dictator, died. There was many trials, many cases against him, but he died in freedom. There was no force enough to condemn him and to put in prison.
But of course, he came to power with the express help of this government, the United States. And, you know, how do Chileans feel, particularly young Chileans, about the fact that the United States, the biggest superpower in the world, played such a big role in shaping the destiny of their country?
Well, at that time, we are talking about 1973, so a lot of years ago. It was a time of the so-called Cold War, and the big tension between the communist world that doesn't exist anymore and the Western world was very intense. So you have to put this episode in the frame of that. Well, the intervention of the United States there to help the people who were against the Democratic president agenda, it has been proved. The Senate of the United States have written many reports, books, and there are a lot of unclassified documents that are very well known. And there are 100 books written by American journalists about that. But the point is that when the United States realize what kind of dictatorship Pinochet was, the United States also tried to get rid of Pinochet, because Pinochet committed acts of terrorism inside the American territory. There were some criminals that killed one prominent Chilean politician in Washington, D.C., and thus was the beginning of the end of the love affair between the Chilean junta and United States. And then in the last year, the United States was quite active in helping the Democrats in Chile to get rid of Pinochet.
Finally, Antonio Skármeta, your book, The Dancer and the Thief, is being turned into a film. Like,
may I say something? Because there is an information.
Sure.
It's going to be a film. It hasn't been made.
Right.
The rights have been acquired by the same producer who made The Postman, Il Postino. The director is going to be a Spanish man, a Spanish director, Fernando Trueba, who got here in L.A. Some years ago an Academy Award, an Oscar for the film Belle Époque. And you said that one of the characters would be played by Diego Luna. What I can tell is that he was offered the role. If he's going to take it or not,
well,
I don't
we'll
know. What I'm sure, because he accepted that he's under contract, the man who's going to play the other scoundrel is the Argentinian Ricardo Darín.
Very good. Well, best of luck with that, and may you enjoy as much success with your book turning into a new film as you did with The Postman. Antonio Skarmeta, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Antonio Skarmeta is my guest. He has a book signing tonight at 7 p.m. At the Los Angeles Public Library, 630 West 5th Street. And for Sonali's subversive thought for the day, I thought I'd quote Gabriela Mistral, who once said, "We are guilty of many errors and many faults, but our worst crime is abandoning the children, neglecting the fountain of life. Many of the things we need can wait. The child cannot. Right now is the time his bones are being formed, his blood is being made, and his senses are being developed. To him we cannot answer tomorrow. His name is today."